Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. This morning, I am going to address a very important topic, and it is entitled, Do You Have a Hidden or Secret Life That Has Stopped Your Spiritual Growth? And I'm going to be speaking from Psalm 90 this morning, Psalm 90. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, Return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. You are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. Verse 8, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. I'm going to read verse 8 one more time. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. The Hebrew word here for presence is face. And so this is what I want to speak about this morning. It is the fact that there are really no secret sins. Someone has actually stated that secret sins down here or upon earth are open scandal in heaven. And so it is important to recognize and to understand that God knows us intimately. He knows us intimately. Those things that we want to share or we want to share with others, God goes beyond that. He goes beyond the mere persona, our social face, whom we want to be recognized, how we want to be recognized socially. God goes beyond that. He goes beyond the mask of the persona, and he sees us in depth. He sees the reality of who and what we really are. God knows. And it is astonishing to me that there continues to be those who confess, as it were, the name of Jesus, and yet, as Paul said, let those who confess the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And yet there are those who go on as if what Paul has said or has stated is not true or is not real for them and for whom they think themselves to be. And so they have this a particular social persona that is presented before the world, and yet within their hearts they are someone else. They engage in behavior that is inconsistent with their confession. And so what I want to speak about this morning is that reality, because sin is real. Now, sin may no longer be recognized in Western theology, and that is most unfortunate, because sin was never an idea. Sin was never a theological position. Sin, the word harmahalos in Greek, means, and the harmahalos is one who is a sinner in the Greek New Testament. And harmahalos is an adjective in Greek, and so it describes behavior. It is a descriptor of one who practices a certain way of being. And so those who choose to live lives that are antithetical to the revealed will of God are called sinners. Believing ones, however, are supposed, that is, with the profession of being the believing one, one is supposed to have crossed over. There's that hiatus, and one no longer practices sin. Sin is not his or her practice or way of being. Real believing ones, those who have truly been born anew, do not practice sin. They sin on occasion, but it is not their habitual way of being. We speak of a sinner, the one who practices sin, we are speaking of an habitual way of being or acting. And so when we talk about this, this subject of one who has a secret life or a secret life of sin, we are speaking of those who profess to know Christ Jesus, and yet by their actions and their behavior, we know that they do not know him. They do not have fellowship with Jesus Christ. The word fellowship in Greek is koinonia, which means to have joint things in common. How can one say that one has joint things in common with Jesus Christ and yet practices sin? It cannot be. Now, on the other hand, there is the reality of believers who fall into the flesh, and they live according to the flesh. That is a reality too. And so believers who are in the flesh, we read, Paul states that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They practice what Paul calls the mind of the flesh. The psyche, that is the soul, is mired in fleshly behavior, or the sarx. And so Paul lays out for us in Romans the reality of salvation. Paul's letter to the Romans is his treatise in soteriology, that is, the doctrine of salvation. And then he also talks about the doctrine of sanctification. And believing ones, Paul states, are to reckon themselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We're to reckon ourselves. We're to consider or count on ourselves be dead to sin. And yet, the psalmist here talks about, in verse 8, our secret sin. Recently, there's a scandal about these hackers released the names of these individuals who were calling or who are part of a particular website, and these men believe that they were talking to women, and they were actually talking to fembots, which is very interesting. One of these men happened to be a professor of theology and a pastor, and he was caught. His account came up, and so his answer to this particular situation was to take his life. And it was interesting to me because there are those in this man's life who loved him and who would have forgiven him. But what is really interesting is that he did not handle the scandal of his name being cast abroad with regard to this. So he took his life. I always, in my counseling, tell people I like to have an open discussion about the reality of sin. I never make sin a footnote. And in saying that, if the situation warrants this discussion, then I most certainly won't have it. Because I know the reality of sin and what it does. I start with my own life. I have to make sure that I go before God and confess my own sin. Going to 1 John 1:9. And I need to make sure that my life is sanctified, that is set aside unto God. I need to be filled or controlled by the Spirit. I need to make sure that I am not walking and fulfilling the views of the flesh. So when I have this discussion with others about sin, I have to do so according to Galatians chapter 6, I have to make sure that when I speak with another brother or sister, that I restore this one who has fallen into sin in a spirit of meekness, considering my health. Sanctification takes work. It is not a benign process. It is an active process. It is in the active work. It is never benign. Biblical spirituality is never benign. It is never passive. It takes a great deal of work, a great deal of concentration, because it also includes prayer, it includes meditation, it includes making sure that my thought life is clean, that my thought life is centered around those things that the biblical material say I must have as a reality in my life. It takes a great deal of work. If I want the peace of God that passes understanding, if I want God's own irene, his own peace, then I must live in such a way that God's peace is in my heart and within my life. I have secret sin, if I am given over to pornography or to a spiraling in the sinful indulgences, I'm not going to have peace of heart. The biblical word is epithumia. We have the prefix epi, which means a bond, and thumia. Thumia, and so with desires, and so epithumia means all types of degrading, debasing desires that spark. fire of the life out of control. And so sin is real. Let me say sin is real. And Psalm 90 speaks of the case of an individual, or the psalmist talked about our secret sins. And notice the superscription here is Psalm 90, which and it reads, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your face. Notice in verse 9, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Job made the same observation about our lives. And so here is wisdom. With wisdom, we understand the word of God, not mere intellectual awareness. And here's where many believing ones get into trouble. We stop at a mere intellectual awareness of what the scriptures teach. We take in spiritual phenomena, that is, the word of God, through the mind, through the intellect. That information that we take in from the scriptures is processed by faith. By faith, we believe in our hearts what we study, what we understand about the scripture. This is by faith. And so it is very important that as a believing one, I do what I need to do in order to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is very important. It is of paramount importance that I do that. I need to understand that my life on a daily basis is accountable to God. And as such, we are told by Paul that we will give an account. You and I will give an account to God for our actions, that is, deeds done in the body. Now, I'm going to move over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. What a powerful verse. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. That is his word. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. So in the Greek text, verse 3, we have these words. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's day. Man's day. And Paul will talk about the coming of the Lord. And so here he speaks of man's day, man's thought, man's thinking. And then he says, I judge not mine own self. So we have man's day that stands in opposition to the coming of the Lord. The word that Paul uses here for judgment is anakrino. Krino is the word, the Greek word for judgment. And then we have the word crisis. The biblical, the New Testament word for judgment is the word crisis. It is spelled K K-R-I-S-I-S. And it comes over to English, to the English, E-R-I-S-I-S. Verse 4, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then he goes on, and this part is comforting, and then shall every man have praise of God. But notice what Paul uses. Notice the language. He speaks of the hidden things of darkness. So here the word is krypta, or hidden, krypta. And he speaks, the Greek word for darkness is stotis. And John uses the word stotia in 1 John when he talks about darkness. And stotia means the consequences of darkness. And so we are getting an understanding of Paul's understanding of psychology. He talks about the hidden things of darkness, or scotus. This is a very important term. Scotus, a very important noun in the Greek. Paul says, "Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light, the word here in the Greek is phos, from which you get our word phosphorus. God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. See, there are no secret sins. We can, however, deceive ourselves into believing that our secret lives impact no one. Well, if we really believe that, why do we keep such things hidden? Believers who are engaged in child pornography, believers who are engaged in incest, believers who are engaged in early childhood sexual abuse, believers who are engaged in fornication, that is, unlawful sexual relationships and between unmarried persons. Believers who are engaged in adulterous relationships, God sees. Now, all of these things go on within the community of the faithful. God knows this. The Word of God tells us that we are to get our lives clean. And when believers are engaged in these behaviors, they cannot grow. They have to stop growing. And no matter how many books are read or Christian movies that are watched or non-Christian movies, I heard a story. When this 50 Shades of Grey movie came out, how these believing women wanted to go and see this movie because they felt that it would help their sex lives. Very interesting. That they did not understand that being filled with the Spirit of God would truly bless their sex lives. I kid you not, some of the things that I hear and some of the excuses, the shallow, silly excuses for wanting to indulge in the flesh are amazing. And so in Kierkegaard spoke about such behavior. He called it the hope And I know Francis Schaeffer said some things long ago about Søren Kierkegaard, but I won't go there this morning. But it is important to understand that there are no secret sins in the kingdom of God. And self-deception is real. And one can be bound in self-deception. And when it takes over an individual's life, it is truly horrendous. The enemy knows when believers are playing games. The enemy knows when believers are playing church. And one can sing, and one can read scripture, one can pray in public, one can strum a guitar, one can preach a very nice speech. But it's all hollow. There's no real love for God. Because of the love one has for God, one does not want to sin. You do not want to sin against the object of your love. We are to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. So we need to grow up in our love for God. And we need to stop playing with the idolatry of simple sin. It is idolatry. Idolatry always betrays the enemy. Always. Even Shakespeare said, often the power of darkness will win us and then betray us in deepest consequence. One is lured in. And James, the book of James says that man is led astray by his own lust, takes the bait. And then he is impregnated by sin, and when sin gets the test. Read James. Read what the Word of God has to say about this very important topic. Give up sin. Give up playing this game of the flesh, and you will truly develop a real spiritual life. Let go of the things of the flesh, and you will develop a real and true spiritual life. You will find that the crutches will begin to disappear. God will take away those crutches. God will take away those excuses. God will take away the self-deception. You have to go before God and confess where you are and give up those secret sins. Give up the carnality and start having a real spiritual life. This is so important. Look at what's going on in our homes. Look at what is going on in our country and other nations. See how the world is falling apart. And see how the world truly needs the living God. Don't be a part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Be real with God. And God is the one with all the confusion, all the hurt, and all the violence. God makes that you have a life that is blessed, a life that is wonderfully blessed. You have to make the decision to stop playing with sin. And you walk according to the Holy Spirit of God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you this morning.